This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
All right, Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're here officially for day three of the convention. And that we've had a lot of stuff that's been happening, and I've got a couple of guys who are with me here this morning to kind of recap last evening's show and maybe some other things that will be coming up. Larry Wright is on my right.
Hey, hello. Larry. Good morning.
It is a good morning. And Mel Kent's on my left.
Mel left.
Yeah.
That would be
Mel. Where did he go? No, he's still here. Darn it, he's still here. Okay. So, last evening, what did you think?
I love the show.
Who was in the show?
The show was Bizarro. Michael Finney was the MC, and Mike Hammer. Mike Hammer just killed me.
Have you seen a show at the Four Queens before?
I have, but it's okay. I kind of miss Don Rickles, right? And he knows it's sort of that kind of an act, and it's just right on the edge of being. Did you really say that?
That's true.
But
he's got an impish way of doing it. You know,
yes.
that Don Rickles also had that little glint in his eye. But the same thing, I think, that the way that Mike says it, that it's almost, is it okay? I mean, he knows kind of how far to take that.
But Don Rickles would always have that one section where he says, you know, I do this in fun and that kind of thing,
yeah.
You know. I don't know if I ever saw Mike actually do that kind.
Nope.
But if you're into that kind of comedy, and it is, you know,
a lot
fall
of people
down.
Are.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he has people come back to the show, you know, time after time after time, you know, dozens of times. Larry,
I have had a really good time at the convention so far, and last night's show was another example of watching some true professionals work by Michael Finney. To me. He didn't do any magic last night. He did his comedy stand-up routine. I've seen it several times, and I still laughed myself silly last night watching him wow the crowd with all of his tales of his childhood and his brother Patrick.
Patrick, yes. Yeah, that was very funny. Yeah, and then Bizarro, I thought, was really good, doing a silent act. He does both a stand-up comedy act as well as a silent comedy act, and it was, as the name implies, bizarre, you know,
yes,
kind of
indeed.
Stuff.
Well,
not easy doing a silent act. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that.
Well, when you eat all that latex, it kind of makes you silent.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, swallowing balloons, no. That's true. What about the rest of the convention? Dealers and other shows, lectures, what have you seen, Larry?
I have enjoyed the dealer's room. The dealer's room has got a lot of wonderful, and unfortunately, guys, I have to be careful. If my wife hears this, Scott, I'm going to be in real trouble.
Tell her to miss this episode.
Yes. I had a ball getting Mark Wilson and Nani Darnell to sign a leather-bound copy of their book that I ordered from Greg Wilson just before this started.
And that was the Mark Wilson course.
Yeah, Mark Wilson.
That's leather-bound.
Now I have met the people that started me in magic and changed my life. I would not have had the same kind of life as I have now if it hadn't been for Mark Wilson and Nani Darnell.
You know, that's true. They have been really great people, and Greg gave a great little talk in which that it's interesting that he's really not pursuing magic performing, but rather magic legacy of the Alakazam and his history, of his parents' show, and trying to make sure that the tapes don't get lost and, you know, digitize that. And he's got, you know, trying to raise some money in order to keep these archives alive, because years ago, videotape was so expensive, as you guys both know, that they used to overwrite it, which is why that there are not a lot of Johnny Carson's shows early on, because they just overwrote some of those beautiful skits and things he did from way back when and all the guests he had.
Well, I was surprised that, of course, in the convention, when a video segment is projected on a screen at a convention, it doesn't look all that great. I'll be honest with you. When Greg was out in the lobby, he had a little setup out in the lobby there, and he was projecting the same video.
It was bright. It was clear.
It was clear. And there's something about early television video that is very crisp in when you saw it live that could not be duplicated
on film. Correct.
And that's what I was watching out in the lobby when he had a little standout. She's had all this paraphernalia and stuff out there. And I said, you know, that's great. To have that, and it wasn't, it was a digital thing from his computer that went into a projector that was on the screen. So I went around to look at the computer. Boy, that was just crisp and clean.
I think part of it is that some of the video that he has is from quad tape, from 2-inch quad tape, and that is inherently more clear than when they transferred it to 16 millimeter, which is they did, and sent it out all over the country to be played by local stations, and then they try to transfer it back from the 16 millimeter. It's tantamount to having a very small pixel photograph and trying to blow it up really big, whereas the 2-inch quad is a direct transfer. It looks good.
He was talking about something in which that there was one method in which they actually project into another camera, where they then record that from one camera to another.
I always heard that was called a film chain, but it's basically they project the 16 millimeter or 35 millimeter picture into a lens that is a TV camera, and that's how they converted it to broadcast it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, another thing, speaking of history, of course, what do you think about the Doug Henning exhibit that Chip Romero had?
I haven't been yet. I have to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't either. We're going to go.
It's awesome. He just had it open last night, 6:30, 7:30. Right. He's going to be open again here today. I've been to Chip's home, and Chip's been a friend of mine since before he ever even got into Magic. And I used to hang out at the Magic Island. Anyhow, he is the number one Henning collector, of course. He professes to have probably 80% or more of Henning's stuff. And anyhow, the press clippings and everything, I mean, he's got all these kinds of things kind of behind the shelf that he'll give you a private tour of that, but he has costumes. That's the main thing, you know, when you kind of come in and see these costumes that he and Debbie had worn. And then on one wall is a background or backdrop of from one of their TV shows with these unicorns and rainbows and things that are there. He's got several props. Lance Burton and I, Chip said, come around here, I want to show you this. And showed, this shadow box and how the thing worked and how it was different from, Lance was it's different than the one that I have and whatnot. Then he's got the zigzag and also he's got some stuff for sale. He's got a lot of extra things that he has acquired over the years, and so he's selling off for whatever the retail price is going for nowadays. I for an example, years ago on eBay, I bought one of those Merlin buttons when he was on Broadway in Merlin, and I don't remember. I maybe spent $15 or $25. He said they're now selling for $300.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So can you find it? That's the question.
I know exactly. I've got it displayed at home. So, but it's things like that, I mean, that apparently have value now. And some posters and things. $3.50. So anyhow, yes, that is great. And for those who are listening, I believe that he's going to do some sort of a tour that he'll be putting on Facebook of some sort of a live streaming thing that'll be digital. I think it is. I know he's also working on a book of Doug Henning as well. Anyhow, this is really awesome. And it's something that you got to see. It's a one-time thing. I know that he also told me, in addition to whatever the IBM is paying him to come and bring all these things, he drove out and he said, I'm spending another over $5,000 out of my own pocket because I want to do this right. I want everybody to see this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it is. So,
well, we're definitely going to make sure we get to see that. Thanks for the description.
You've got to definitely see that. Aside from that, let's see, that late night last night was Joshua J.
Yes,
and I absolutely killed.
Tell me why, who are listening.
The reason why is because every word that he said has apparently been worked out. There's no...
extraneous fluff?
There's... it's definitely...
Efficiency of motion and of scripting.
Right. The only changes in was his... asking someone to, I guess Oscar Munoz was working the onstage camera. He would ask Oscar to move to the left or to the right to get a better view. Nothing like directing your own show.
While we're on that subject, and you know, we were talking about video earlier, I think that one of the amazing things I've seen here that I've never seen at any other convention, of course they have the image magnifiers, those big IMAGs, but they have a picture-in-a-picture,
yes,
which I think is really pretty cool, so that you get to see a close-up of the guy's hands, but also the large picture-in-a-picture that you can kind of see the rest of what's happening from another angle.
It looks good, and I'm surprised, especially since the distance of those cameras in the back of the room all the way to the stage.
Cameras. Yes. Did you see how big those were?
Yeah.
They look like security cameras.
Yeah. And they're pretty crystal clear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also the other thing that I think I said to Mel, I wonder what kind of video board they have, because they have lots of different fades and transitions, and it looks very professional. They're doing a great job.
It must be a very small
board.
Yeah. Well, in that regard, you know, during Paul Kozak's show on the opening night on Thursday, apparently that there was a Wednesday, I guess, there was a glitch in the panel. I was talking with the sound and light guy, and he said it wasn't the phone, it wasn't the microphone, it wasn't the battery. He said that the whole power went out, I guess, basically. And he said it went out of phase or something, whatever. Anyhow, it was nothing to do with them. It was something else that, you know, happened in the hotel. But it made it sound like, you know, that we had an unprofessional job. And I know that Kozak was a little bit upset, you know, about that, because you're in the middle of your show and then suddenly had to start.
Well, you know, into each life a little rain must fall. And if you haven't experienced a technical glitch while you're performing, you're not a real performer.
That's a good point.
To everybody.
Going back to his show, you know, that Cozy's got a different show now than what he used to have, a different character. Of course, now that he seems to be more laid back in Hawaii.
But I loved his old character.
That's what people have been telling me. That's what they wanted to see.
His zoot suit and... Yep. And spats and I think he got into this new character because obviously he is in Hawaii, right? Yeah. So he's got his surfer shorts on and a Hawaiian shirt and a tattoo here,
yeah.
Right? But I kind of miss the old one, to be honest with you. But I don't know.
Larry, any comment on that?
Well, I think for where he is, he's exactly what he needs to be. And the proof of the pudding is he's sold out all the time. You can't hardly get a ticket to see him. So he must be doing something right for where he is in Hawaii.
Well, he was saying also that he had to get back because this is his high season and that he was actually losing money while he was here. He needs to be there because, you know, not only is he a performer, but he's also an artist. So he's got his own gallery, actually.
I'm losing money, too.
Well, you hear the slot machines.
Yeah. That's why we're here at the $5 breakfast this morning.
Yeah, in the poker room. I might add that we're sitting in the poker room of the hotel. Where Don Weiberg told me about this, and he says there's a little line in the program or the little slip of paper you get when you check in that'd be sure and get a $5 breakfast in the poker room. In, I don't know, 9-point type?
Yeah. Right? He saw it.
Well, that's Mr. Weiberg for you.
And Harry Allen also saw it.
Yeah.
So Harry this morning.
So here we are sitting at a felt table. I know I felt it. Sorry. I
wondered who was going to say it first.
Yeah, somebody had to do that. Eating scrambled eggs and bacon for $5 and keeping our waitress Brittany happy. So
Tomorrow is the Order of Merlin breakfast, so I've had my last $5 breakfast.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yes, same here. Now we're going to spend a $75 breakfast.
Yeah, that's right.
And then also the dinner tonight, we'll be having the banquet.
Yep.
And
the banquet's tonight?
Yes, it is.
Banquet's
tonight.
You're going to that.
I am.
I'm not going to go to that. Have other plans.
I've already arranged for that. And then, let's see, what else we got going on then tomorrow night? Tomorrow night ought to be a really good show, I believe. Of course, tonight is going to be the
Gold Medal
show, the finalists of the stage. And I know that David Da Vinci, I believe, is going to be closing the show. I think Jessica Jane may be in tonight's show as well. Tomorrow night, I know the Banachek's going to be performing. I forgot. Robert Bax is tonight. Yeah. Is he going to be the MC?
He's the MC.
Okay.
Robert's from where I live, and I always enjoy seeing his act. He is part of a children's theater performance group that I have been honored to be part of for 30 years. And he has a great kids act.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
Good to know. Well, listen, thank you guys very much. I'm glad you're enjoying the convention. Good talking
Scott,
with you as always.
It's great to see you. Thank you.
You as well. As Mel Kentz, Larry Wright.
Thank you very much.
Scotty out. So we're in the dealer's room then right now. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, by the way. And there are, as I mentioned yesterday, about 20-plus dealers over here. And one of the people that is one of my favorites and yours, of course, is Rocco Solano, who is, as Obi O'Brien always says, what, the Italian stallion.
Yeah, he's funny.
He is a funny guy.
He's the godfather of magic himself.
Yes,
you know?
That's true. He's kind of his kingmaker in a way, you know, getting a lot of people involved and bringing over a lot of international talent, you know, all the time for that convention.
The best,
which includes you. And speaking of international talent, the last time that you were on the podcast, I can't remember whether that we talked with this year at the Fectors or not, but I know that what we did talk with you and Franz whenever you guys were in Macau,
yes,
and we did a live
backstage
video thing.
Yeah, man, he's here too now.
Well,
we'll get him in on this.
Well, we can get him over here just a second to say hello then too. But I think that was pretty cool, and that actually stopped. I mean, they no longer have that venue, is that right?
No, they closed that after about a year and a half of it being open, but now Franz is opening up another one in China. It's going to be three times as big. He's keeping quiet about it. We'll see if he'll talk about it a little bit later.
Okay.
He's been very quiet about it. It's going to surprise everybody.
Wow, because that one was huge to begin with, because
that
he was doing his big stage stuff on there.
Yes, they had three stages. This one's going to have seven.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
Hey, this is Perry. Perry, how you doing, man?
Hey, Perry. And so... Okay. Yes, Perry, that you just were talking about over there is with Magic Flix, which I think is kind of cool.
It is, man.
And
he's
so, Perry.
Later.
Hey, Perry, what's your last name? Sorry.
Perry Maynard.
Maynard, yes. And that Perry Maynard is with us in right now, and we're actually in the booth over here for Magic Flix, which is interesting because this is actually the next generation of how to learn magic. Is that kind of what you guys are saying?
That is, Scott. We are here at the 2019 IBM National Magic Convention, and like you said earlier, we're at the Magic Flix experience here in the dealer's room. We're introducing Magic Flix to the magic community.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting people signed up and subscribers, and we have several of our featured magicians here like Rocco Solano, Franz Harari, Greg Gleason. Misty Lee was here yesterday. She did a fabulous show. So this is really our launch here to the magic
community.
Facebook
now?
We are live.
Hey, we're live on
Facebook.
Hey, Scott, congratulations to you because you actually have the best podcast in magic that everyone's raised about.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Hey.
Appreciate it. Hey, Franz.
We're going to have to get Franz in here a little while.
Come on in, Facebook fans.
Yep.
Come on in.
So we got, that's right. So that way you can hear actually kind of what's going
what
on over there
right
then,
now.
Too. So
Franz, this is Franz, man. He's my hero right here.
I'm not really here right now, but I'll be here later.
He'll be here later.
All right, Scott.
So, I appreciate that because, we just completed actually 500 episodes.
That's what I heard.
Just
that's
had to celebrate that epic
Yuri
episode
Geller
with
was the last episode.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, what a guy.
Oh,
yep.
Man. You get the best.
He is awesome. Well, because I got you and these other guys, that are kind of around too. I appreciate all the listeners that we've got around the world
and
as well.
If you can help us promote Magic Flix, that will really help magic and everyone.
Well, and that's the thing. I think people learn magic a lot through podcasts because you can listen to that in your car when you're exercising or working or whatever. And the kinds of things that you have then with Magic Flix, that's audible as well? Do you have like a
That is a great
portion
question,
of it,
Scott. We do have an audible section right now where we have several audible links to. Primarily, we're a teaching and a performance site where you can come on, learn from beginner close-up magic to more advanced by some of the seasoned professionals like Rocco and Jeff McBride.
Right.
But if you've never done a magic trick before, you can go in our beginner section, and you can literally learn several magic tricks in a minute.
Yeah.
So what gets them going.
How does this differ from YouTube?
YouTube, YouTube is a collection of various maybe explanations or exposure of magic tricks. Sometimes that information is robbed.
Yep, it's proprietary. They steal someone else's material.
They steal from the performers, right. and they take from their art. The difference between magic flicks is we like to put all the magic in one area, and magic flicks pays the performers. So when you're viewed, your content is viewed, they constantly get paid.
So you get a royalty from what you're performing.
You get a royalty no matter what.
Yeah.
And we got to have Rocco. It's real hard to get Rocco's content because he just likes to throw cards constantly like he's doing
I thought it was
now.
Just raining cards
just
here.
Raining one card after another.
We have 5,000 decks. We're giving them away to everyone here.
Well, you know, I've got my little card. I haven't gotten my free deck yet over here.
Do you happen to have any? I can reach right back. And now listen to you guys out on Facebook. Like Rocco said, we have 5,000 limited edition Magic Flicks playing cards. So if you're not here at the IBM, you come and visit us over at Magic Live this August in Las Vegas, or come to Stan Allen's Magic Live, or you can see us at Daytona Festival of Magic, which is in Daytona Beach, November 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And we're going to have decks for you, too. So we want you guys all be a part of Magic Flicks.
You suppose that I could take a few of these that I could give out as some gifts to some of the listeners?
Absolutely.
So all they have to hold, well, they disappear just that quickly. You know, look at that. Rocco, you never stop, do you, man? Look at this man. Look at this man.
There's a candy for you, too.
Well, that didn't come out of your sleeve. Wait a minute. If it's not
you see
candy.
Well, you can still put it in my sleeve, you see? Then you just don't see it.
That's true.
I hope everybody learns magic. We got some girls coming on the platform.
Yep.
We got all ethnicities, some different cultures on the platform.
Yep.
And we can want to get experienced guys like you on the platform.
Well, thank you.
Are you Roy Rogers?
Roy Rogers.
Yeah, for a minute there, I was sitting next to Roy Rogers.
No. More like ho, maybe I should say. This way, with this beard.
Look. You
had
a magical look.
Well, thank you very much. And so with Magicplex, I was going to ask as far as, like with YouTube again, that if you want to search something, let's say like a three rope routine, is there something like that you can do a search for, I want to learn a rope routine?
Absolutely.
Or okay.
We have sections of card magic, coin magic, generalized rope, like you were saying before. If you wanted to learn stage performance or presentation, we have different categories on the Magic Flicks streaming site where you can find, like I said, from beginners to professionals. Right now, we just signed on a great content provider to bring in children's magic and clown magic.
Interesting.
So over the years and over the next few months coming up, we are bringing on so many new content providers. The wealth of knowledge that you're going to have in one spot at Magic Flicks is really overwhelming.
Very cool.
Now, Scott, let me tell you the big thing that we're doing at Magic Flicks.
What's that?
This is just not for the magic community. We're introducing this to the world. Mm-hmm. We want to get people that maybe be in front of their computers all day playing video games.
That are hobbyists,
Might be hobbyists, or maybe never even done a magic trick before. And they don't know really how to get into magic. They might not be lucky enough to have a magic shop in their hometown.
Right.
So Magic Flicks coming into their home via the computer, the laptop, or the phone, it gets them 24 access to magic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our main goal.
Well, the obvious question over here is going to be cost. And I understand, Rocco, isn't there like a Rocco code?
Yes, there is. They put in the code R-O-C-C-O, Rocco. R-O-C-C-O.
Okay. Whenever that you're
free for the month so they can test it out. And if they have any suggestions of what they want to see me teach them, like, for example, I've had a few suggestions. Someone says, can you teach me the butterfly routine, how you produce butterflies?
Yeah.
So now that's a suggestion. It's in the box. So we're going to film that in a couple months.
Okay.
Some people ask me, how do you turn water into wine? I'm going to put that together. I'm going to teach that. When somebody asks me, how do you walk on water? Can't do that one.
Yeah.
But we can turn milk into ice cream. We can just about do anything that if they suggest it to me, we'll teach it. And then they'll have the availability to watch it.
Will there be different pricing levels? I mean, you know, kind of like that they have with Ask Alexander?
Another great question, Scott. What we decided to do for Magic Flicks, and it doesn't matter if you're a beginner or a seasoned professional, we wanted to keep the price all the same.
Okay.
So you're going to have total access to our total platform for a simple $9.99 a month.
And it's not with a subscription that you have to sign a contract for a year. It's like per month.
You can sign on. Say if you sign on with your free promo code Rocco, you get your first month free. If you want to opt out at any time, you're not forced into, say, a year contract.
Okay, that's my
question. It's a month-to-month subscription.
You know, I know this is going to be taking off, and that you know, my podcast is not all about commercials and messages and everything, but this is something that's exciting. That's why I wanted the listeners really to go in a little bit more in depth and take a deep dive to find out about this, because I know that anything that Rocco's going to get involved in is going to be successful.
Yeah,
because,
man,
you know, you look at, you know, your Delight. I remember the guy you were working with in Delight, and he was coming and giving all these to us at Fectors many years ago.
Yes.
He said, I want you to try these things out, and got some ideas or whatever. And, of course,
next thing you know,
you're a millionaire. That's right.
Right.
It's amazing.
So this, but you know why?
So I know that what I'm saying is that I trust your business judgment that you only get involved with things that are going to be successful, like you did. We were talking about briefly with Franz with in Macau, you know, and different kinds of things. So you know the future. You know what's happening.
I can share with you and with everyone what the magic secret is.
Yeah, what's that?
Acknowledge God in everything you do.
Yep.
And He will direct your path.
There you go.
And crown your efforts with success.
Mm-hmm.
You put Him first in your endeavors. He can do what no man can do.
Yeah.
And He just has that magic power. You have to believe. The way miracles happen, the way He turned the bread, He had to feed 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking, and they said, they're hungry. What are we going to do? They had their kids, almost 15,000 people. He said to Peter and Paul, he says, they're hungry. So there was a little kid there for his lunch. He had five little pieces of bread and two little fish. He brought them to Jesus. The way it multiplied, Jesus first gave thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Gave thanks for the little that He had. Then He blessed it, and then miraculously, through divine intervention, not in the natural, in the supernatural, as He was giving it out, they were multiplying.
All right.
And they had so much left over that they filled 12 empty baskets to save.
Yeah.
So that could all happen in our life.
Right.
We just believe and thank whatever be in the moment of whatever we have, and God will take care of the rest. You do your best, God will do the rest.
Yeah. You know, I just, we were talking about the 500th episode, you know, with Uri Geller, and that he kind of got me off base when he was saying, I said, first of all, sir, I want to thank you. He said, don't call me sir, just call me Uri. And it kind of caught me off a little bit, because he said, everybody should be at the same level, you know, that you should consider me just as an equal, just call me Uri. And it threw me off base, because my belief really is, you know, God first, others second, and I'm third. You know, but I do want to respect other people, and I do want to honor, you know, where I came from and all that. So I think it's important that you recognize, you know, where you came from, you know, kind of a thing.
Of course.
So,
you got to love your brothers, you love yourself. The golden rule that's been written in so many books, even Buddha, in the book of Buddha. Do unto others what you have them do unto you.
Yeah.
That's the secret. And the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, but you must also forgive your brother if they've done any transgressions against you.
Right.
Forgive him.
That's
and
right.
That's how God can forgive you. We got the magic going on, man. Scott.
All the time.
All
so
right.
From here, this it can obviously be in any platform, but it's only in English. Do you have anything that's going to be, like, for some people in other foreign languages?
Actually, we do have a section in French.
Okay.
And it is, the name of the magician over there is a very famous French magician, and it escapes me right now.
Franz, what's the guy's name that's the French magician?
The French magician
what's
on
his
our
name?
Platform. Very famous gentleman. And his name is escaping me right now.
Duvier.
His first name is
Dominique Duvier.
Yeah. And a large portion of his content is actually in French.
Yeah.
Because we anticipate some viewers from, of course, Europe.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, not everybody speaks English. So as the platform grows, we want to have a section for our Chinese friends in Asia. And we want to have we just had a great conversation yesterday with some magicians from India.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to cultivate our content for each, you know, country around the world.
I did want to say hello to Franz there for just a minute, too, because
Franz,
I want to thank you very much, you know, because whenever this...
I'm going to slide out of here, Scott. I'm going to let
Harry.
Sure.
And to good to see you. I
want
to thank
always
you again.
Whenever
that you and Rocco, we'd done that video, and then I put the audio on the podcast when we were in Macau.
Oh, right.
Remember that?
Sure.
And you're giving us a backstage pass, kind of what this place looked like.
Looks like you're holding a dead squirrel.
Well, actually, we call
how
it a dead cat.
How they said that before you?
Yeah,
right.
Not a squirrel. That's interesting. I haven't had that one before. I've had
it's
called
more
just
of
about
a woodland creature. I'm
gonna say. Little furry woodland creature. That's right.
Yeah.
But that closed, I guess, about a year ago, a half ago. So you've
about
got
a year,
another
yeah.
project, I'm assuming.
It's actually it's moving to a city that I'm not supposed to say yet in China, southern China. So okay. We're in pre-production right now. It's a whole thing, you know.
In a casino, though, it's going to be another similar kind of event?
Bigger, actually.
But bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Because the other one was fantastically big. Was you were showing us, because you were doing your large illusion show and everything, you know, I guess. And so this is going to be a larger show.
We should save this for an interview that we do.
We will do that at a later time. That's true. You know, well, listen, I just wanted to sit down for briefly.
A genius. He's a brilliant.
I know he is.
Open up his notebook. Rockwood, do I just keep him near me just to say nice things?
No. If he ever opened up his notebooks, his notepad, look at his diagrams and what he envisions,
you know,
and then makes come to
I
life.
Did, he and I sat together. He doesn't remember this, but the Magic Castle so many years ago.
Perry is talking to the camera, but we're hearing, they're hearing us.
Completely different, yeah.
I am
he's
in
doing
Perry's
thing.
Mind. I am the voice of Perry's conscience. Perry doesn't know I'm talking to you.
No, that's not hooked up. That's just Facebook Live.
He's doing Facebook Live over
there,
so this is separate from that.
Oh, well, then Facebook Live can't hear you.
No, that's why he was having to get closer to us. It's with all the rest of the ambient noise, I'm curious about how that's going to work.
So let's do a real Facebook somewhere in a quiet place.
We ought to do that.
Let's do that. I'm all about that.
Good. No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's a wrap. I just wanted to say thanks very much.
We got another House of Magic or a bigger thing in the works for you somewhere?
When we're not live?
Whenever. Okay. So just so you guys have a little bit of a tease, you know that something's in the works that's going to be happening. So great. Thanks, guys, very much. Thanks, Franz. Thanks, Rocco.
You did good already.
And thank you very much, Perry.
So
appreciate
much.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, I'm here in the dealer's room
at the IBM
Scottsdale, Arizona, 2019. Scotty out.
Rocco. Great, man.
By the way, we were just talking about the decks of cards, and for those who are listening and still with us for right now, he's going to give me a brick of cards. So for the first dozen people who actually send me an email, that's Scott at themagicwordpodcast.com, and if you reside within the United States or continental United States where that I can ship this off, because there's going to be some shipping involved, but it will not cost you anything. I'll ship that compliments of the Friends of the Magic Word who helped to underwrite this program, and I will send that to you. If it's going to be foreign shipping, just let me know, and I can that you're willing to pay for shipping, and I can ship that to you then as well. But anyhow, first dozen people that send it to me, and my address is Scott, that's Scott, at themagicwordpodcast.com. And I'd be glad to send you a deck of cards. The first dozen folks who do that. So this is coming out, I know, each day, these daily updates. So you want a deck, drop me a note. And I'm sure that after the first dozen people and the first ones are gone, they'll probably give me another brick. In other words, that if I hear something in the next day or two, then I'll get another brick and send those out to you as well. Thanks again. Scotty out. All right, well, we've kind of gotten away from the cacophony of the dealer's room, and I'm speaking with someone who has been a dealer, actually. Weren't you a dealer, Paul?
For many years.
For many years. I've got Paul Stone with me. Hey, Paul.
How you doing, Scott? You all right?
Yeah, fantastic. It's good to have you over here. And so, you've not only been a dealer, because I've got your, what was that, flipboard thing?
Overboard.
Overboard. I love that. I still love that.
Good man.
But also a... entrepreneur, and you have put together some other conventions and everything of your own. I might get to that here for just a minute, but you're here now over from the UK and enjoying this convention. Have you been here for the whole time? I haven't seen you the first day.
Well, no, I've been here, and I'm not from the UK. I've been living in Las Vegas for 10 years.
Okay. And when are you going to get rid of this accent?
And I'm an American citizen. Excuse me. Thank you very much. Although I do keep my British passport. Just don't tell the IRS that.
Okay. They won't be listening.
Okay.
As for this convention, what have you seen or enjoyed so far?
Well, it's interesting because I used to come to all the IBM conventions for many years, for going back all the all the old prezzies and things. But so it's the first one I've been to for a while. I used to live in Tempe here in Phoenix area, so it was part of my reason for coming back. But it's fun. It's fun. It's about meeting old friends, isn't it, really?
Yep.
Magic. I've seen a little bit of magic. I've got to say, I've got some particular friends like Mike Hammer, who was on last night, who's brilliant. You know.
And have you seen him at Four Queens?
I actually worked on his show with him for, I spent 6 months just working. Most of what you've not, it's not fair. A certain amount of what you saw last night was down to me, I have to say.
Yeah.
Or working with him. And Mike's brilliant, you know. But he's a great guy to work with, and I think he's under the radar. I think he's the best-kept secret in magic.
He is. He's got such quick wit.
Yeah, he's the fastest. And the good thing about him is, you know, he's edgy. without being offensive.
A good example of that, and how quick he is and being edgy as well, that Tom Vorjahan recently had surgery, and he'd had a toe removed, and he was up there, and he said, what's wrong? And he said, well, I've had a toe. And he said, oh, one little piggy went to market, huh? It's like, that was brilliant.
That's Mike. I mean, yeah. Mike thinks on his feet. Literally thinks on his feet. There you go.
Yeah.
but it's good to be back, and it's good to see. I was just chatting with Les Arnold, actually. I hadn't seen him for a while as well. It's good to see some of the old guys.
Les is going to be on the show tomorrow night, I think.
He is. He's going to be on, and I've had a chance. Actually, it's weird because there's a couple of people. I went out for lunch yesterday with Nancy Keener, as in Nancy Keener Johnson now, but Ed Keener's obviously ex-wife, and she's a lovely lady, and we all keep trying to get together in Vegas, and she's in her 80s, and she still works 5 days a week, an optician, she's an amazing lady, unbelievable lady,
yeah.
Who has more stories than anybody. I mean, they toured the world, you know, the Keeners, they were fantastic, and it was great to spend some time with her, but I have to come to Scottsdale to be able to meet up with her.
Yeah.
I've had a good chance to talk to, and you know my background is Ken Brook, you know, that
yes,
I have all the Ken Brook
yeah.
rights and stuff. And I saw Ken Dem, and Ken was, in my view, the greatest Demmer I saw. And another one was Al Cohen, obviously was great. But to me, the guy that beats them all is Mark Mason. And I'm going to tell you that because, not to blow his trumpet, but Mark is a great magician, which people don't realize because he disarms you. He's just very likable and very warm. He does great, great magic, but he's a great closer. I mean, the man is the best I've ever seen. I've been in this for 50 years, and
ultimate
he's the
salesman
best I've ever seen. Without, and a lovely guy. So.
It has a great, origin story, I guess, kind of, being a busker and a street
Absolutely.
Magician in Blackpool and everything.
Well, he used to sell towels and stuff, I think, and he was telling me, but he...
Sold what?
Towels and things in the marketplace, all sorts of stuff, anything, frankly.
Yeah.
He didn't get into magic until he was 20s, but he's great, and it's great to have a chance to spend some time with him, which has been great, and so that's been really good, actually, and I caught up with a couple of other friends here. Keep bumping into people, and the good thing about dyeing your hair is you always feel better than most of the people walking around.
I was about to say, I don't think that you appear to have aged at all. I've known you well over 20 years.
Oh, I probably love this guy, actually, yeah.
And I think you're the guy who is ageless.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that, but I stay busy. I have lots of projects, and the good thing is now, I was a show producer for a lot of years. Really managed to take that great tribute to Siegfried and Roy over at the Palladium, done lots of Palladium shows. And the casinos in Vegas now, it's changed now. Vegas has changed because it used to be that they'd pay you to put shows on. I used to put a variety of magic shows. Now they want to be landlords. They want to hire you the room, and you've got to take all the risk. And there's a lot of DJs and
everything's
discos.
Changed.
It's all changed. So I did speaking on the ships now a little bit, but I'm now involved with a new TV project, which is about to launch hopefully in the new year, which is going to have a certain magic content to it, which will be great. Give me an opportunity to.
Will that be on networks or something?
It's going to be streamed and on it, but maybe on one of the networks. But certainly can be streamed as well through as all the like the Disneys and Amazons. They're all streaming stuff now, so you'll be able to get it on your phone and your laptop, and also be able to get onto stream it to your TV as well.
Talk about that once that launches.
We will do. We'll just keep it under wraps for a little bit, but it's going to be really exciting. And I can tell you it's called Golden Network Television. But it's going to be aimed at the 50 and better community, which in other words, us old people.
So it's Golden Network. So again, this is not a like magic flicks that we were just talking about. This is going to be completely different
it's going to cover everything. It's going to be like everything from travel shows to wellness shows to all sorts. But I mean, for me, I'm from Liverpool. I'm doing a big show about in my Liverpool home, talking about Liverpool, coming from Liverpool. But we're also doing another thing called Amazing Experiences, which is going to involve, it's going to have magic very well involved. So we'll be talking to magicians around.
You produce a lot of conventions as well. I remember one that was the Magic Expo.
Well, I did a thing called the Innovention. Okay, and that was the great thing. I mean, I did that. That was a small. It was a smaller convention.
With Jeff Hobson.
We had Teller. We had everyone. We had also Teller did his Red Bull thing for us, which is I think the only time we've ever done it at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a couple in Vegas, and then we did a couple obviously in Liverpool. But my days of doing. Also, for 3 years, I produced the IBM British Ring Convention, and those were the days when they had 1,250 people. There now they're down to like 150, and it's like here.
Really?
First, like the IBMs that I used to come here in the old days, we were talking not far off 2,000 people.
I was going
to
say, I remember 1,600 people. Yeah, no, that's true. Well,
now,
even
it's a different world now we live in.
Even regionally, the Texas Association of Magicians. Yeah. When I was the president in 2000, that was the last time we actually had over 1,000 registrants. Yeah. It's gone down. Everything has kind of gone down since then. So I'm assuming that, of course, Blackpool has been going up.
Blackpool now has got 5,000. They had 4,500 this year, and they're hoping to get 5,000 next year. To the point that the Opera House, which is the main theater that houses the best part of 3,000 seats, they're having to do two shows a night now. No, it's phenomenal, and it's changed. The running, you know, they've got two guys now who know what they're doing, who are running it. It's not quite as it used to be.
Derek's not involved.
Derek now is moved on. In fairness to Derek, Derek did a lot, but yeah, they've moved on. They've got a guy called Russ Brown and Russ Stevens, who you'll know, who are guys who, I mean, it's a committee, but they're the main guys.
When's that going to be?
It's in February every year.
Early February?
I don't know where it is next year. I'm thinking mid-February. I couldn't have got the date exactly, but it's a ridiculous thing. It's one of those things that you almost don't know why. There's 5,000 people there. I have to say, I nicknamed the Great Unwashed. and the reason is because these guys never go to bed. Yeah. You know, they're there. They're walking around in a daze. It's massive. Yeah. And it's a gathering, but it's unbelievable. Yeah, they've got, you know, they're getting 5,000 people, and it is a great convention. They've got some great talent. You know, and
I haven't been in years.
You need to go.
I'm thinking about next year, in fact.
I'm going to be there lecturing, actually, I have to tell you.
Your roommate? Yeah, because I know that rooms are kind of going to be at a premium, yeah. You know, with that many people.
But Blackpool, I think Blackpool, it's because it's a seaside holiday. It's a holiday resort, so because of that, there's lots of bed and breakfast. You never really have a problem. You can get accommodation in Blackpool because it's out of season for them, so there's lots of bed and breakfast. Some places, so you can get somewhere fairly reasonable, or you can pay a bit more for a more expensive hotel. But it's good, and it used to be a 1 day convention when I first went. And now it's 4 days. You know,
well, the same thing like with Macmillan. That used to be just a 1 day thing, and then it's got to be larger.
Well, Macmillan convention doesn't happen anymore.
They don't have that anymore.
No, that's done now, unfortunately.
Who took that over? I thought, but didn't it evolve to something else?
Not that one, no, because that used to be in London. Obviously, obviously it was Ron Macmillan, then his son obviously took over. But no, that hasn't been on for the last couple of years. So Blackpool really is the main the main convention now, and it just goes from strength to strength. It's one of those things, and you know, because they have 170 dealers there, it's ridiculous. Yeah, they have four rooms of dealers back to back.
It's bigger than FISM.
Much bigger than FISM. But I mean, again, it's not everybody's cup of tea. But I've got to tell you, the atmosphere has changed a lot in the last couple of years since these lads have taken over, and the shows are really strong, and they're great theatre. Yeah, it's good. You need to come.
Well, yeah, the last time I went was with Banachek and the two of us. He was lecturing, and we had a dealer's booth and everything. He was selling the books and everything. And I don't know how many years ago. That must have been at least a 10, maybe 15 years. No, it has to be 15 years ago. I was going to say sometime around 2004 or 5, maybe even. Goodness sakes. So I haven't been back, so I really want to come back over again.
And of course, as you're a dealer, you know yourself, the trouble with being a dealer is that someone like that is you don't see anything because you tend to be stuck. You're stuck in your booth.
Well, on the other hand, everybody comes see you because they pass by the booth.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah, I'm talking about not people, but so much as the events going on, you can't really. And I know they've got some cool people. I mean, they've got Uri Geller's coming next year. I know that. And the great thing they've got, I hope it's not a scoop, but I'm telling you anyway, but Arturo Brachetti, who he's doing his one-man show, which I don't know if you've ever seen it. I saw it in Rome in an arena for 5,000 people. Outstanding. I believe he's doing that on his own show on the Saturday night. If so, you want to...
You came through the US many years ago.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, the greatest ever quick change. I mean, it's not even quick change. It's an art form. So he's on there, and Uri Geller's on there. Matt King's going to be over there. So, you know, it's great, and it's well worth going.
Yeah, look forward to that. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying this convention. Yeah. I'm glad that you're here in Scottsdale.
It's really good. It's good to see you, and it's good to see some of my friends again. And, it's fun. It's a really nice change.
Great. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that's Paul Stone. Scotty out. All right. Well, things are fairly quiet over here, and it's because it's about lunchtime, and we'll be picking up in about another hour, in which we're going to begin with the close-up competition, and I'm going to be one of the judges here shortly, so I'll get a chance to go and take a look at that. So I'm here with Joy Martinez. Hey there, Joy.
How are you?
Fantastic, and I'm glad that you made it. I know that you've been busy with the Nashville's House of Cards, and so you finally got a weekend off. You can come all the way out to Phoenix.
Yeah, man, we want to be out here checking out the competition and see what's going on in Magic. You know, we're all about furthering the art, so
sure.
I'm definitely letting them know that HOC is here to... You know, represent.
Yep. Well, you know, I too look at acts a little bit differently than what I was before, because the last time you and I were talking, I know you were general manager, but you weren't the talent chairman or director. So now you also are hiring the talent for the HOC House of Cards. And same with me eventually, once the Magic Island opens, you know, that I'll be doing that as well. I'm saying.
Can't wait for that.
So that's right, because they're going to show you, just like you did me, you know, open access, everything you want, anything you want, buddy. But the idea is that I think that whenever I view an act now, I'm thinking, okay, would that be something I think would play for our audiences, kind of a thing? You know, is it something that's a commercial thing, or is it just for magicians, or both, perhaps? You know?
Absolutely. So. I mean, I believe in bringing the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're here at the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
And you're going to be here for just a couple days and then heading back on Sunday? You're sticking around for a few days? Or
no, I'm going to be heading right back to the office on Sunday.
Now, I know that you were, I saw you, some pictures you had posted at the Magic Castle. You're out there for about a week just kind of visiting some friends? Or
absolutely. Going out there and visiting family and at home away from home. Mm-hmm. So I always like to stay in touch with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody knows we're still around.
Yeah. And when you are looking for acts, I'm sure that you get, as I do already, we're not even open. I mean, people contacting you all the time. How do people, if someone wants to work the House of Cards, what do they need to do? What do they need to show you? How do you decide?
Well, we obviously ask to see a video of what they got. I mean, most of the people that are inquiring are friends of ours. You know, some created this big magic family, so we get to know the majority of them, but I always like to look at the videos, see what they got. Because our space is limited to parlor and close-up, it's you know, it gives us a little bit of a focus in point, you know what I mean,
right,
to what kind of magicians we're going to be bringing in, making sure that they can keep the attention of the crowd and entertain, and just if they have that appreciation for the art of magic. That's my biggest thing.
And when they are booked, do you book them for 1-2 weeks at a time, or how long?
We do 1 week at a time, okay, 7 days, Monday through Sunday. Just depends on some of them will actually stay an extra week due to close-up as well.
Okay. So that's why I was going to ask that you book, I thought mainly it's local guys for close-up, but you book out-of-town people? Yeah, okay, got it. That's like with us, the Magic Island, we have mostly out-of-town people that are going to be, it's because we have lodging, it will be, you know, for somebody that you put them up, and so we don't for the close-up guys, you know, so that's why it's more local guys that we have then, yeah, as well. Yeah. And so anyhow, I know you haven't seen some of the acts, but, you know, boy, last night my camera was really good. I had Paul Kozak the night before. Yeah,
I love my camera. Can't get enough of that guy.
Yeah. And unfortunately, he's got his own show. It's going to be hard to get him out of Vegas to come and work the Magic Island or House Cards.
It's almost like a mission impossible for him, right? He's so busy. I mean, he was touring with Chris just recently, mm-hmm, so he's a busy guy.
Yeah. No question. So are there other conventions you're going to be at Magic Live?
Absolutely. We'll be at Magic Live this year, Sunday through, I think it's Wednesday or mm-hmm, believe Thursday, mm-hmm, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I actually have the owners, Bill and Shannon, will actually be joining us as well as Blake, the operation partner.
Okay.
And just introducing them to our magic family and letting people know who created this this venue that we have. It's such a rare gift to be able to have these days. There's a lot of places that have magic being performed there. And usually it's like a one-person deal or they're the only performers there. And further in the art, if we can get more people to come around and, you know, bring in different performers every time you come and change the experiences, right, we're all for that. We're all for helping out. So hopefully you get up and running soon, be able to announce our schedules and see if somebody else will want to pick them up while they're on the road.
That's kind of what I'm hoping that the plan will be, is there will be some sort of a circuit that can kind of go from one to the other, maybe Chicago Magic Lounge, and so maybe that...
And it's a win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. The venues themselves will be able to get more return visits. The magicians themselves can expand their fan base.
Right.
I mean, you look at some of these folks that they only see magic on television, mm-hmm, and a lot of the skeptics will say, oh, well, they did that with the trick camera. Oh, but if we can bring it right in front of your face and blow your mind, I mean, that's a gift that you can't get back, right?
That's right. You got it right. All right. Well, Joey, thanks very much. Very good seeing you, my friend.
The pleasure was mine. Stay blessed.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Joey Martinez. Scotty out. Well, we're waiting for the close-up contest to begin, but one of my other judges sitting next to happens to be a friend that I wouldn't feel as if that I had done my job as a convention reporter if I didn't talk with Peter all the way from Australia.
Yes.
And so you Come to these every year, and how many years have you been coming to the IBM convention?
Look, it depends on how they fit in timing. I went through the list of IBM conventions, and I think I've been to 17 conventions.
17 different conventions. Okay.
IBM conventions.
Wow. And you're going to be hanging around here also just for a few weeks afterwards to go to Magic Live.
I'm going to Magic Live, yes.
It's probably cheaper than going back to Australia than coming back again.
Yeah, although I am coming back to go to the Genie convention in October.
Now, are you going to stick around and go to Abbott's as well after Magic?
No.
You've been to that before, though, haven't you?
I've been to Abbott's. I've been to three Abbott's, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm here on my own at the moment, and I thought, you know, I've got to go home and just make sure that my mail's all arriving.
Right, yep. And you got to say hello to the guys or friends who aren't here. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right.
Say hello to your friends.
Hello to everyone that couldn't come to Scottsdale.
I was going to say, what was the other guy's name that always comes with you?
Graham Etherington's been coming
the
last few years. 12 months ago he said, oh, look, it's a bit much for him. He's getting a little bit old, and he said he'd give this year a miss. A few weeks ago I saw him, and he was kicking himself that he already had some bookings, and he couldn't change it, but he really wanted to come. So,
Well, sorry he can't make it, but what have you enjoyed so far at this convention?
Look, I liked the Joshua J. lecture last night. I think I've enjoyed most of the shows, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm really into close-up magic, so Joshua J.'s lecture was...
And you know that this morning we had John Armstrong who spoke, and he was, of course, maybe better known as a close-up magician, but he talked mainly about parlor and platform magic.
That's right. Look, I would have preferred his close-up act, but I still enjoyed his stage act. I enjoy parlor magic, and I enjoy stage magic. It's just when I'm performing, I generally do close-up magic.
I always get something out of everybody. Whatever I hear, there's always something. And in particular, there was one thing that he had said that kind of struck a chord with me I hadn't really thought about. And he said, when you're going to be on stage, you need to develop your character, first of all, and not bring somebody up on stage for the first 10 minutes. Because then if you do, then the attention is pulled to your assistant rather than to you. So you have to introduce your character so people know and like you for the first 10 minutes before you bring your first person up. That's good advice I really hadn't thought of before.
Yes, I... It sounds logical when you think about it that way.
Sure.
Yes.
I've done that, but I just hadn't done it consciously, you know.
Yes.
But
yes.
For somebody to say, that's what you're supposed to do, it worked out great.
Yeah.
So, this evening we have the stage contestants, who are the finalists, who are going to be competing. And then right now, of course, we're going to have close-up. We've got 15 close-up performers, or contestants, I should say. You know how many of them, Peter, that we've got as far as senior versus juniors? Do you know how many juniors we have there, did they say?
No, I think there's about three juniors, but okay. I'm only guessing at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that we do have juniors, and that's one of the things I always try to encourage people to sign up and to compete for these conventions. And it's a way not only of learning and getting some flight time, but also, I believe, of getting to know other people who are contestants, because those could be your lifelong friends in magic. You know?
I've noticed something over the whole convention. There are a lot of lady performers. So, you know, 20 years ago, you hardly see any female performers.
I think it's going to certainly be going more and more towards that, with having women performers in close-up and in stage.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I know that Carissa Hendricks and Kayla Drescher has as far as their Shazam podcast. Okay, they're getting ready to go. Okay, that was Peter Rogers from Australia. Scotty out.
Thank you.
All right, well, we're here just about getting ready for the evening banquet, and before we do that, I thought I would chat just briefly here with John Armstrong, who had given a lecture today, and those of you who did not attend the convention or didn't get to hear the lecture, just want to kind of give you a brief recap. You're going to talk about some of the important stuff. We were just starting to say...
We have 4 hours, right?
That's right.
All right, good. Now let's make sure we get it all in.
But we're talking about the difference between platform and parlor. But you were just about to say something. Look at David Sandy and Lance Pierce.
Right. Okay. So
Pierce.
So long story short, I can regret this. About 5 years ago, I decided that I was going to refocus my entire career away from close up to do more stand up magic. And in my journey on this on this road to do that, I learned a lot about what I feel is the two main differences between in stand-up magic, which is parlor magic, which is more smaller and erst towards close-up, and platform magic, which is larger and erst towards stage magic, larger things. And it has a lot to do with perception. And the thing I was just about to say...
One of the most important things, and David just walked away.
Yeah, that I learned is that I'm very proud of the credit that I won Close Up Magician of the Year at the Magic Castle. They're very important to me. It's great. So I used to say in my introduction, I had this little video spiel, and I would say, you will soon see why. He won Close Up Magician of the Year. And then one of the things that I would get back, and this is my early days of ships, is like, well, it's too small.
Right.
The moment I took that line out of my introduction, no one said that.
Interesting.
I spotted they were looking for it to be small.
Right.
Because I said close up. But the moment that I then, I did two things. I took that line out of my introduction, and I expanded, and just basically just made sure everything played up and out, everything I was doing. Not that I was ever doing anything on the table anyway, but I made sure that it was, you know, like if I used a ball that was like, say, 2 inches, I made sure it was a ball that was 3 inches. Not that big of a deal, but just slightly bigger. And that, then it made all the difference. Because not only were, I didn't set them up to be like, well, this is going to be small and I'm not going to be able to see. Because there's no reason to even put them in that framework.
Right.
You know? And, it was a big change for me. And when I do a close-up segment, because my show that I do right now on Disney Cruise Lines, where I headline, is about 35 minutes of stand-up material. You know, original stand-up material that I'm very proud of. And then 10 minutes of tiny plunger on a camera and a screen.
Right.
And that segment that I do on a camera and a screen is not platform magic. It's not stage magic. It is close-up magic done on a camera and a screen. That is the IMAG portion of my show.
Right.
But I feel like people don't want to go out to a theater to watch television. They will watch a portion of it on television, much like Copperfield did back in the day, where he would do the little segments and there'd be close-up, you know, the floating rose and all that stuff.
Right.
But here, like, the whole show isn't on IMAG. It's just this one thing. So it becomes a special moment. I do the plunger. They remember the plunger. It's a big deal. But the majority of the focus of the show is about me, is about the audience, and all done stand-up with, you know, just normal props, like, you know, the same kind of props we all use.
An important thing, then, is to recognize what you're doing and saying in your show in order to play for the right audience, I guess, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's, like, to me... I learned so much about, like, audience management and where, like, what the biggest thing is. It's not just about who you pick or how you treat spectators. Whether you need an actual spectator on stage in the first place. People don't think about that.
Sometimes they will just use them as a person to hold their props.
Exactly. Because we come from a close-up mentality. Close-up in the history of magic, there's been more written about close-up magic than anything else.
Yeah.
Right? And because it is so, so permeant in the culture and such the dominant force in both research, performing, and so on and so forth, you know, because of marketing, however else it is, that we just get in this mindset. Like, well, if I do it in close-up, I'll just get the person to pick the card or hold the box or whatever they're going to do. And that's not going to work on stage. The moment you bring someone on stage... You are the second most important person on that stage.
And you need to realize that, too.
Exactly. And the audience relates to them, their fellow audience member, far more than they relate to
Which is the reason that you were saying that wait for your first 10 minutes before you bring up your first spectator.
Right, exactly. So going back to that point is that I truly believe that they have to understand you, know you. And so all my material that I do in the first part of my show, if I do a 30-minute show... The first 10 minutes of it, I would all do in one, me in front of a curtain, performing, without anybody getting on stage. And I talk about this as well in the lecture, where there's these bridge pieces where you can get them used to the audience participation, where you talk to them from the stage, but they're still sitting in their seats. Or you have
you're recognizing somebody, I mean, you're pointing to someone and you're having a conversation.
Or there's more, this idle chatter like that, or more like direct things, like surname a card, just to use the bad pitch.
From the audience.
Yeah. Right, and so there's like that. Examine the rope. Toss out deck is a little more involved because then you're actually going to them. And then I think finally then you, to get someone on stage, you should leave the stage and come down to them and invite them up to the stage with you.
Rather than just say, giving them some applause and come on up.
Yeah, exactly. Just pointing to somebody and bringing them up. Because ordering somebody like that is a very big, that's a big power move.
And it leads to a possible no.
Right, and when they say no, the rest of the audience now has the right to say no. Thus, you are most likely not going to get someone up. So you're really bridging the gap into making sure that the audience feels participatory, they feel valued, and that goes long. I mean, that's way before the game, before you even worry about if you're going to get someone up and say the wrong thing to them. I want you to think about whether you should get someone up at all,
right?
And then I want you to worry about whether or not and how long it's going to take in your show to get someone up.
And that's what is your reason for having that person up there?
Right, and they have to have a real motivation and a real reason to be there.
Right, right. Yeah. That's a good point. Thanks very much. Nice synopsis there.
Happy to help.
Because that was like you did like about a 45-minute show, and then the rest was electric. It was excellent. So thank you, John.
Appreciate thank you very
that.
Much.
There you go.
In a half hour now.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was John Armstrong. Scotty out.
Sure.
All right, well, the banquet's about to start here, and before we do that, one of the individuals that I'm sitting with here tonight is that I've got a first-time attendee for a convention. Charlie, what's your last name? Charles or?
Shappett. Charles Shappett.
You go by Charles or Charlie?
Charles.
Charles. And spell the last name again?
Shappett. C-H-A-P-U-T.
U-T. Okay, perfect. And then also on my left side over here that I've got Steve Bragazzi, and you're a first-time convention attendee, RCO2, is that right?
Seems like it. It really does. Everything, I'm getting over. Everything's like starting over again.
Steve, of course, is going to be the president-elect, I guess, after tomorrow when they gavel you in, and so he'll be coming in as the next international president. So there you go. And so okay. I always like to talk to somebody who is a first-time attendee. So where are you from?
I'm actually local.
So that makes it easy for you to kind of come on over.
20-minute drive and I'm here.
And is that the reason you're here? I mean, why this convention versus other, like Magic Live or something else?
Actually, I heard about this convention about 9 months ago at my local magic shop. Some of the guys were talking about the IBM convention. And I had no idea what they were talking about, but I like conventions, and I've been doing magic as an amateur for a few years. I figured, why not go to the convention? So I signed up, got my nice certificate. It's I put on a nice little plaque on my wall, and I showed up to a convention here, and it's really nice. I'm enjoying it so far.
And what have you enjoyed? What have you seen? Or did you see Steve's lecture on Tuesday night?
Was that Tuesday?
Yeah, I did not actually. Okay. I didn't get here till Wednesday.
Let's interview somebody else.
Let's go. Okay, nice talking to you, Charles. We got to go. So, but who have you seen or what have you liked? Or
I've tried to catch all the shows and lectures. I'm enjoying everything. I enjoyed Bizarro just now and yesterday. Making me think of names now. Kona, he was funny.
John Armstrong. John Farquhar. Actually, we saw both of those.
Yep. I missed Bizarro, so what was his lecture? Because I was at the close-up contest over there.
So his lecture was, it was actually a bunch of prop gags. Color-changing balls, a bunch of color switches, soda cans, making pens disappear.
Mm-hmm. Did you buy some stuff?
I did, actually, yeah. I told myself I wouldn't spend any more money, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah, what about the dealer's room? Did you find anything in the dealer's room you couldn't live without?
I did, actually. I found these cute little...
Okay, he's pulling something out of his pocket over here, folks.
Pop-up wands.
Oh, pop-up wands,
I've never seen these before.
Sure.
I thought it was the best thing in the world.
Look at that.
And
there
I'm like, go. So I bought a handful for some of my friends.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea to give those up.
Yeah. I got a few of my friends that are interested in magic, but they don't do anything. So every time I pick something up, I show it to them. I, you know, let them do it.
So
They want to try stuff, but they're all afraid, and I don't blame them because, you know.
So after you've been to this convention, so what is your thinking? Are you going to come back to another IBM convention? Like next year's Pittsburgh, are you going to sign up? Or
maybe not next year. I'm traveling abroad next year, but in a few years, if it swings by this place I like, I'm definitely going to come again.
Very good. Very good. Well, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot to learn, and the more often you come, you get to know people. Like Steve and I have been best friends. Golly, I don't know how many, 20, 30 years?
At least.
Yeah. And, I mean, you get to know people, and it's just a lot of fun. You can exchange ideas and things, you know.
Definitely. I've met a few local people, actually, that I didn't even know. And
that's funny.
That I don't see at the...
At the meetings?
At the meetings, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's great to meet new people.
Great. Well, Charles, thanks very much for being on the podcast. So, with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Charles... I still can't pronounce it.
Shappett.
Shappett. And, Steve, how do you pronounce Bragazzi?
It's... You did it better than me.
Bargatze. I bet you get that butchered all the time. What's the worst spell or pronunciation you've ever heard of your name?
Yours just a minute ago, Bargatze. That was like, no. They want to call me spaghetti. It's just like, no.
Spaghetti.
Just forget it. Most of the time, I never let them get past Steven, and then I interrupt them.
I think that is funny the way that Obi always, Steve Bergazzi. All righty, and this is Scotty out.